Going on, everybody. Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. And this is episode 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Episode 6. And of course, it's me, Steve. Or as you can see on the screen, it's, I am the Death Machine. And I'm here with Mr. Bry, Mr. Bryhausen. Bry2Jhausen.
Bry2Jhausen. Very nice, very evil.
Yes.
Cue the curse.
Yeah. But we can't curse the listener because they can't listen to us then.
I know.
Yeah, because then that they don't, it won't be good. It won't be nice.
Well, then we curse those that don't listen.
Yeah. That'll work. I appreciate that. Yeah. That was good. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's been a good week for wrestling for most of us. I apologize for not being on last week to you guys. My children's did not want to go to bed.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, that happens.
And like, I want to record the show, and they're like, "No, Dad, no." And then, of course, they went to bed at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little bit after, so I technically could have recorded, but I was like, I'm hungry, and I gotta.
It's fair. It's fine. Recorded earlier, so that way, you know, I could edit and post at the same time.
Right.
Especially that since I recorded on what was it Monday night? Well, the Tuesday almost.
Yeah.
So I could be up on the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was fine. It was a good episode. I went on rambling with myself for a good hour, pretty much. It was good. Very, very, very seldomly do I actually ramble for a whole hour by myself. As you remember, I tried to do it a bunch of times. And yeah. I only made it like 25 minutes or so.
We'll just queue up... last week's episode of the Inner City Geeks podcast where we're talking spoilers for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, no, see, because the thing is, at that point, I was just like, yeah, I'm tired. You got off, and I was just like, yeah, I'm tired. I hopped off.
I was like, yo, I gotta split, and you didn't see that. And I'm just like, all right, bye.
Yeah, then like 5 minutes, because you know what it was? I was very entertained with the conversation that I was having. And then you disappeared, and I was very adamant about what was going on in spoilers, that I didn't see you say, yeah, I'm out. I was like, oh. And then I look over, and I'm like, oh, shit, this motherfucker left.
I Irish exited the podcast.
Yeah, you just bounced. I'm like, motherfucker. And I just kept talking for like a good another 5 minutes, and I was like, yeah. I didn't even get to the ending, and I was like, I guess that's it. I'm done with the spoilers. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to spoil everything I said.
Right.
And that's fair, you know. You want to hear spoilers, you do. Yeah, exactly. We spoiled a good chunk of it. So go check out the Inner City Geeks podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see. You'll see what I'm talking about. That's two episodes, I guess, three episodes behind this one.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, they're good guys. Just listen to them.
Yeah. I have a good relationship with those guys over there.
Yeah.
So, before we get into the wrestlings for the week, obviously we're just going to be talking about wrestling the entire fucking time. But I have to say that this week I got to go to an actual live event. The live event that I'm talking about is Impact's TV tapings for I guess that's pretty much it. Impact TV taping. So they don't have a real name for the show either.
Right.
It's just Impact Wrestling. It's not like AEW Dynamite or whatever. It's just Impact. I went to a taping of it on Saturday. They had two tapings on Friday. One of them on Friday, the other one on Saturday. I went to the Saturday one because of Friday, of course, I had to do my adult things and shit. You know, I had to work, had to make money. And then we also had to record the regular show. But it was a fantastic time, other than driving like 2 hours to get to the place. It was really fucking fun. It was probably one of the best environments. Because, of course, you know, wrestling fans are actually cool ass fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
I had an awesome time. Also, the fact that the seats were super fucking close to both the ring and the entranceway. I fucking loved it. If you guys check out my Instagram and my Twitters, you'll see pictures or some pictures of it. And it was an awesome fucking time. Impact Wrestling is probably one of the better promotions that are out there, other than, you know, AEW and WWE, because they're really good. They have a good stories, great wrestling, and honestly, I'm gonna say it here, it's probably one of the best women's division in wrestling, period.
Got it.
They are really damn good. Like, yeah, WWE got some good women wrestlers over there. AEW has another set of like good women over there also. But the Knockouts division over there on Impact are really fucking good. They are they're top notch. And they're great to watch. They're great to see. Some things that I experienced, of course, you know, I'm not gonna give spoilers of that, because that the taping that I went to is not gonna air pretty much until just before Slammiversary. So it's okay. The 2 weeks just before Slammiversary that they filmed yesterday.
Gotcha.
So they won't air until probably the 2 weeks before the 14th of June. And okay. They were good. They were good. I finally got to see Trey Miguel and Speedball. We spoke about it a few times on here.
Mm-hmm.
They are fucking fantastic in ring. Watching them do it in front of you, it's just like, holy shit. It is so. It looks so much better live than it does on TV. Like, on TV, it looks good. But it just looks so much better in person.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
And then I also got to see PCO in the ring. Fucking PCO, old ass motherfucking PCO.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around forever. And the funny thing is, like, I was sitting next to this dude and we were talking, because for some reason the seatings are very, very, very close together. It's not
it looked.
Yeah. So they were very close together. And when you stand up, you sit down, you stand up, you sit down. I accidentally almost sat down on this one dude that was sitting next to me. I almost sat down in his lap because, of course, you know, you can't, you're enjoying, you're not paying attention. I accidentally sat on my lap, on his lap, and he just laughed. He's like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. He was a really nice guy. It turns out he's from Canada. I was like, oh, yeah. And then PCO came out. He's like, oh, yes, you know he's from Toronto too. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And we just started, you know, talking about Canadian wrestlers and stuff. It was really fucking cool. See, this is the things that I enjoy about wrestling. The fact that now, what I've said before is that wrestling is a universal language. It works pretty much anywhere. Like I was talking about a couple weeks ago when I went with the guys downstairs, mm-hmm. they wanted to go eat whatever. I had a whole conversation with one of them about AAA.
Yeah.
So like, it spans borders. It spans, you know, language. It's fucking amazing. It's awesome. But to continue with
But no, real quick, it's true. Yeah. It's like they say like math is the universal language. I think wrestling really is.
It really is. It really is, because one, it's the athleticism that's in it, mm-hmm. but also the stories that are there as well.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of the stories are very, very captivating to reach just about anybody. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And then I guess back to the show, like, it was really damn good. Finally got to see our homegirl Jordynne Grace that we speak about quite fondly on the show here. She's really good in the ring too. She's short as fuck, but she's really good in the ring.
You could tell.
Yeah, you could tell. But like, I was kind of like giving it a little bit. I was like, yeah, maybe she's a little bit tall. No, she's still pretty damn short. But she really knows how to fucking put on a show.
That's great. Yeah.
She's really damn good.
I'm glad to see her talent matches her fucking her Twitter.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. She's really good in ring. She's really good on Twitter too. Yeah. She's great. Also, I got to actually meet the Briscoes. They had a meet and greet. And they were super cool dudes. I was like, yo, like, I didn't see you guys until the last ROH pay-per-view. I didn't know anything about you guys until the last ROH pay-per-view. And I became a fan automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, we appreciate you. I was like, yo, like, you guys are fucking badass. Probably one, like I mentioned it earlier on Instagram. I was like, yo, these guys are probably one of the best tag teams doing it today.
Oh, yeah.
I
got to see them Manhattan Center, the upstairs portion where ROH used to always perform whenever they were in New York. And like, I got to see, it was probably like 2007 or 8. I got to see the Briscoes versus the Bucks, and that match was fucking mind blowing.
That's awesome.
And you know, and both teams only got better as they went on.
Yeah. They've but only gotten exactly.
It's great to hear that the Briscoes are chill as fuck.
Yeah, they're awesome dudes. Like granted, I only got to speak to them for like a good, you know, 3-4 minutes or whatever. But they were pretty cool. They were pretty cool dudes. Got to take a picture with them. And I was looking forward to doing another meet and greet with W. Morrissey, but of course, unfortunately, he wasn't there. I was like, sad. But it was still cool. Like, and the merch wasn't that expensive. That's where I got this shirt, the Sami Callihan Death Machine shirt.
I like when you go to a show. Like, AEW's merch wasn't that pricey for, but you know, you go to like a WWE show and it's fucking $800 for a t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Like this shirt was, I think it was $30 for the shirt.
Okay.
And then I didn't get another, the other meet and greet, I was like, fuck it. I bought something. I bought a mystery package or whatever they had. It's a AEW Impact tote, and it comes with a t-shirt, a pin, and an autographed Make World Brawler.
That's cool.
I was like, fuck yeah, dude, that's, you can't beat that, because Micro Brawlers themselves are like 15-20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
A shirt is like 30, and then a pin, that's, you know, their limited edition pins are a certain amount too. Like, so that's a good, it's a pretty good package.
Yeah.
So the pin that I got, I was super surprised. I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. It was a Christian Cage pin. Christian Cage, of course, hasn't been an Impact in quite some time, other than having the title for a little bit recently.
Yeah.
But they had his pin, so I got that. I got an autographed Willie Mack Micro Brawler, which is fucking dope. Because Willie Mack is really damn good in ring, too. He's a big dude, but he's good. And then I got the, who was it? The Inspiration t-shirt. Who is not Tessa Blanchard. I forget her name. But yeah, she's, they're always, you know, taking Instagram pictures or whatever and posting them as they go onto the ring. But it is their picture. They're also the women's tag team champs over there. You got to see them in the ring too. It was really good. But yeah, it was good shit. It was a real good show. I definitely suggest going and checking out Ring of Impact, because they're really fucking good. They're really good. It sucks that, like, you know, they don't have much exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't watch it on TV, you can watch on YouTube. And it's only $1 a month to get just the regular weekly show.
That's really good.
It's not bad. For a dollar?
Because it's like you're really donating.
Yeah. It's essentially what you're doing. You're donating $1. But if you also want to get the pay-per-views and stuff that they do, it's just $15 a month, which is still not bad.
I mean, you're paying more for Netflix.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But for all the content that I have that they'll have on their YouTube, so you get to see the main show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they also have Behind the Impact, which is the BTI show that they, which is where they have the dark matches. So they have a few dark matches or whatever. And that's pretty cool too. It's fun. But yeah, make sure you guys go check out Impact Wrestling. It's a dope promotion, man. They're really damn good. And yesterday's show really made me a bigger fan of theirs, because I enjoy them, but actually seeing them live, I'm like, yes, I need to come to more ROH shows. ROH fan, Jesus Christ, I said ROH twice again. Impact fans are actually really cool ass people. Granted, wrestling fans are really cool people most of the time, but these Impact fans are actually some of the better fans. And also some of the better fans that I've interacted with in person, because of course online you could have some people that are like, oh yeah, these you know, this amazing online, and then when you meet them, they're just like, oh yeah, they're complete dickbags. But from what I've seen so far, and the fact that at the arena, it wasn't that many people there. I'm gonna say it was probably like a good couple hundred, but it fit, and everybody was nice. Everybody's super nice, super respectful, super cool. Because there were also a bunch of kids there too, so it's like super family friendly. Like there was really no profanity. Nobody was screaming like, "Oh fuck you," or "This shit sucks," or nothing like that. Or like occasionally they'd scream out like "asshole" or whatever from the ring or whatever, but it was cool. It was good. It was a good experience. Very PG, I guess you can say, but really dope shit. At one point, PCO actually like busted his mouth open on like outside, and that was pretty, it was kind of crazy to see PCO just bleeding out of his mouth because he got a suplex on the ramp. That was like next to me. Yeah, it was like I said, going to an Impact show was fucking cool. So go check out fucking Impact, because they're great. Like I said, I'm going to say it again. Like, I want to watch more wrestling live. Like, being in an actual arena with actual fans, seeing something that, you know, I personally can't do, because, of course, you know, I'm not... Like, granted, yeah, I'm a big dude, so you can say that I'm built to actually become a wrestler or be a wrestler in some type of way, but I can't take those bumps. No, I'm too old for that shit. Like, I'm a fucking quote Murdoch. Yeah, I'm not. No, that's not for me. Too old for that shit. But yeah, I guess we can get into the geek shit, into the weekly
wrestling shit. The wrong wrestling podcast. Shit.
Yeah, I know. That's fucking weird, right? You know what it is? We have too many. We have too much shit to talk about all the time. But yeah, let's talk about some wrestling shit. Other than what I've experienced from being at an actual event, but we got Raw this week, which was not too bad. They're slowly getting better and getting a better gist of what they do on a regular.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't, and this is probably one of the better episodes in the last few weeks, I'm gonna say. Because it was way better than SmackDown for sure, but the stories are progressing just a little bit more than they have been in quite some time.
Okay,
yeah, and I like it so far. One of the big stories that I got super excited for is that The Miz is of course he's having issues with Ali, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the guest referee in the match against the match of Ali versus Ciampa, Tommaso Ciampa, or Ciampa, however they call him now on the main show or whatever. And Ali had Ciampa in a small package for in a regular pin, and The Miz was going super slow for the pin. He was going 1, 2, and then Ciampa would kick out. So for a good 10 seconds, he didn't make the three count. And Miz Ali was, of course, he was pissed. He started to scream and fucking at the Miz, and then Ciampa comes in with a small package, and pins him, and 1, 2, 3, real quick. So we kind of see where the story is going. We kind of see how the story of Ali versus the Miz is going to be a thing. Eventually, something happening. What's the next pay per view? Survivor Series.
Probably, I don't even know.
SummerSlam? Yeah. But yeah, looks like that's gonna be a big thing coming soon. But I kinda like where this story is going. It's pretty cool. Then another thing overall that I'm super excited for, because of course, I'm a big fan of Rhea Ripley. And I'm kinda sad that she turned to the dark side or whatever. She joined Judgment Day. I still don't like that name. But
no, the more I hear it, the more I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, the more I'm like, I guess. But
let us not forget, Edge got himself the Rhea Ripley haircut.
Yeah, they're twinsies now.
Yeah.
He took over her blonde cut.
Yeah.
Because now she has the black hair.
Yeah, but honestly, it's like Edge looked more menacing with the long hair.
Yeah. Yeah,
now he just looks like a preacher.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm kind of surprised they haven't gone that route with that.
I know,
because this kind of looks where it's going. But
he's like, well, I mean, he is like a dark preacher in a way.
Yeah. But yeah, the fact that Rhea Ripley went up against her former tag partner Liv Morgan, and pretty much destroyed her. I was like, yeah, I like where this is going, because I kind of want to see what that's going to be like, and the possibilities of Liv Morgan now possibly joining Finn Balor and AJ Styles in their little, I guess, their new version of the Bullet Club or the WWE version of the Bullet Club, or the new NWO or whatever. Because we saw her recently, rocking the NWO shirt and doing the Too Sweet. So yeah, that would be cool if they do that. That'd be a pretty cool faction versus faction match. But we'll see. Another thing I'm super fucking excited about on Raw is Kevin Owens against Ezekiel. That whole story with Kevin Owens being super pissed off that Ezekiel is actually Elias.
It's slowly growing on me.
Yeah.
Because like in the beginning, we called that a bad creative.
We did. But we mostly called it bad creative because of Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Not the story going on back and forth now. I'm still not sold on Ezekiel, but I'm liking the fact that Kevin Owens is like calling them on their bluff. Like, yeah, like this is actually really Elias, but he's still playing it. Like, yeah, no, I am. I am this person. Like, I am myself. I am Ezekiel. I'm his younger brother, and I am digging the way the story is going and how at this point he pretty much has the academy pretty much on his side.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I like where this is going. I kind of want to see where this is going to, what's going to happen soon. And then they continue on Raw with something that I still, like I said it before, I still don't know, fuck about. I still don't care about Almost and Bobby Lashley.
Right.
I don't care. Don't care. Why are they still doing this story? I don't give a fuck.
I don't care anymore.
Like, the fact that they had a whole segment with Almost and MVP mm-hmm. with a whole VIP area and stuff, and not Sheldon Benjamin, because Sheldon Benjamin is pretty much out for a little while. But Cedric, and it's just like, why is this still going on? Like, granted, I get it. Like, they see potential in this guy. And by this guy, I mean Omos. But like,
he's their next big guy.
Yeah.
And he's their next, like, fucking Kali, Andre.
And that's what I said. Like, I get it. But at this point, like, I still don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, this is one story that I can honestly live without. Yeah. But then the good thing is that we got the return of Alexa Bliss. And that was great because she came out as the surprise opponent to Sonya Deville that just got fired as the manager. She could be as like the one of the general managers of Raw or whatever. But she still she's still working, but she's working as a superstar, not as an officer or whatever.
Yeah.
But Alexa Bliss is awesome. I'm glad she's back in the ring. It's been quite some time since we've seen her there. But she got the win against Sonya Deville. And I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to wind up doing with her story. Because are they going to make it just a little bit longer story? Or are they just going to be like a one-off that she just got a win off of her for just once? Or are they going to build some more? I want to see that.
Yeah.
Something that was pretty fucking cool afterwards was Riddle. Because earlier in the show, we had Riddle. RK-Bro. Having a back and forth with the Street Profits. And led to a match later on in SmackDown. In Raw with one of the dudes from Street Profits. Well, was it the whole Street Profits? I don't remember. But Riddle came out at the end with an RKO when one of the dudes was about to do like a frog splash, and Riddle just hit him with the RKO out of nowhere. And that was fucking fantastic. It was a fantastic way to end that match. Which pretty much led to, you know, whatever happens on SmackDown next. And that was pretty cool. That was probably one of my top highlights of Raw. And then we also got, well, I guess the final point in Raw was pretty much when Seth Rollins came out being a little baby, crying like, ooh, like he's like, you beat me too many times. Like, dude, like, it was a solid win, dude. Like, stop being a little bitch. But he interrupted the U.S. title or the U.S. championship match between Cody and Theory, causing a disqualification, and then proceeding to beat the shit out of fucking Cody. That was pretty cool because I wasn't invested in seeing more of this story continue, but
they work really well together.
They really do. They really do. They're great in the ring together.
They've wrestled in the past, no?
I believe so. I don't remember because for some time, like, I wasn't watching it for a while. Like when the whole Stardust thing happened, I wasn't watching then.
You're not missing much.
Yeah, no, I know. So I wasn't really watching them, and I'm pretty sure they did stuff on the indies together. But I didn't, of course, obviously I didn't see that either. But they do know each other. They do know each other very well in the ring. So I'm kind of excited to see. Like, at this point, I'm kind of like, yeah, do I want to see part 3? Yes and no. Like, I want to see it because, like, it's going to be a good match.
Yeah, I say give us one more match and just close it. Have the rubber match. Even though Cody,
unless they're gonna go like 2 for 5, like 3 for 5 or whatever, you know, best out of 5.
Because like Cody's won twice, so a rubber match would be invalid.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be a rubber match at all. It would just be like a redemption.
Yeah.
But it would be dope. It would be kind of cool. Like I kind of want to see this. I kind of want to see where it goes. That's pretty much all the good out of SmackDown, out of Raw, which leads us to I didn't watch NXT because it's just like too much stuff going on over there that I just really don't care about. I guess we could go into Dynamite because Dynamite was pretty fucking dope this week. One of my favorite parts of Dynamite was Danhausen and what was it, Tony Nese, or whatever, that they were supposed to have a match, and Tony Nese pretty much destroyed him within 2 seconds of coming into the ring or the bell ringing, and at that point Hook winds up coming in, and which essentially finally gives us the Hookhausen like we've been anticipating since the last few weeks. So Hook and Danhausen are pretty much a tag team now, and I kind of like this. So next week, or no, not next week, at the pay-per-view, at a Double or Nothing, it's gonna be Danhausen and Hook versus Smart Mark Sterling and Tony Nese.
And let's talk that freaking amazing theme song. Yes,
we finally got a theme song for Danhausen, and it is fucking fantastic.
Like it got to the point where I didn't really get to hear it because I know he came out to it on Wednesday, but I was also distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is that everybody was talking about it on Twitter and retweeting Ruckus, and mm-hmm. you know, he's like, and he's liking their retweet and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm like, okay, I need to hear this theme. And what happened is that what I was telling you, Steve, was that I was playing the theme song on repeat while I was editing for my YouTube channel. And so like here I am just playing that theme over and over again. And then today my daughter Charlotte created a dance to said theme. And check out my Twitter, Bright2G Presents, if you want to watch the video. It's like mm-hmm. a 15-second clip. But she, even later on in the day, when I played it again, hours later, did the same dance, and it's so cute because you know she's mm-hmm. two. So like, yeah. That theme is so catchy, and like when you showed me that clip that someone spliced the Munsters,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, I this is just insanely funny.
Mm-hmm.
And just
it fits.
It fits so good
because the theme song is essentially it's a
metal Munsters theme.
Yeah, it really is. It's a mixture of Munsters with a little bit of Doctor Who in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking good.
It's fucking dope.
Like Mikey Ruckus really knows how to put on another fucking theme song. Like every single theme song he does,
it's just fire.
He's a fucking banger, dude.
And shout out to Ruckus, man.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to Ruckus for the theme song. Thank you for mm-hmm. retweeting my kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
you know that tweet got, man.
That tweet got so much love today, too.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I got, like, I can tell you even right now while we're talking. Like, it got... Get this mouse to work and find the proper screen. Let's see. If I go to Twitter and I go to notifications, I got 3 retweets and 15.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
16 likes and 3 retweets.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, they love my kid. They don't give a shit about me.
Of course, of course.
It's like, fair. Geez, it's cute, fair. You're not.
You're just a maker.
I'm just a maker. That kid has our mother's looks.
Yeah. but yeah, that theme song is fucking insanely good.
Mm-hmm.
Then another awesome fucking match was on Dynamite.
And it's currently playing in my head as we're talking.
So yeah, same here. it's in there. It's pretty much embedded in brains.
Well, it's your ringtone. I can't get it on my phone for some reason. I gotta figure that out.
Yeah, it is my ringtone. It's sad to say it, but it replaced the FTR theme song.
Yeah,
the FTR theme song is another fucking fantastic theme song too.
Yeah, but this is just different and better.
Yeah. It's sad that I just have wrestling themes on as my fucking ringtones. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care. I'll do what I want. It's my phone. but yeah, it's super fun. Another cool last match was fucking who was it? Darby Allin versus Jeff Hardy. Holy shit, in a ladder match? What the fuck? That was a hell of an insanely good match. Of course, Jeff Hardy, very, very, as we know, he's done a bazillion fucking ladder matches because that's their signature pretty much. The Hardys, that's what they do. They give you ladder matches all the fucking time. Because like I said, that's their bread and butter pretty much. And this match was another insanely good match with one of the craziest bumps I could fucking think of.
Pick one.
the last big bump when he fucking jumps off of the ladder onto Darby with the chairs on by the entryway.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking nuts, dude.
Like, that's some Jeff Hardy shit we haven't seen since he was in his 20s and on pills.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now we have, you know, we have 40-ish-year-old Jeff Hardy sober. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And still taking these bumps, and now he's feeling it.
Uh-huh.
Because, like...
But he's still doing it because that's what the fans want.
Yeah, but, like, what's... And shout out to him for still kicking ass, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and... Also, like, watching him perform in the ring, I haven't seen Jeff Hardy that happy in ring in a singles match in so many years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, dude is just straight up, like, happy to be a part of this company. Because he gets more family time. You know, he's a dad now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he wants to, like, be with his kids. And, like, AEW, like, they allow this shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, you know, chained to under the ring. Like, okay, you performed. Now you're under the ring until we need you again. Yeah.
Well, that's much like Impact does the same thing, which they only record like after the pay-per-views or, you know, a couple weeks after. They'll record 4 weeks worth of stuff. So they literally have like 2 days of recording 2 separate shows.
Well, like,
so until the next pay-per-view, pretty much.
You're right. Like Jordynne Grace, she had posted on Instagram a couple of pictures yesterday saying like how she had, you know, she got like this food and she did this and she did this out in Tampa. And then she's like, or in Orlando rather. And she's like, you know, she's like, this is my last taping for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So like that means she gets to like be with her husband. She gets to like fucking, you know, have a
relax with her doggies.
Yeah, play with her doggies. start this Twitter war with Nyla?
That would be awesome if they do that.
So you guys listening to the show, go on my Twitter, right? So Bright2J Presents, check me out on Twitter. Follow me anyway, as you should, because I'm always tweeting. Well, I'm actually using Twitter a hell of a lot more now that we're doing this show than in the 10 years I've been on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
But check me out on Twitter. It's a tweet from early last week, right? Scroll past all the DDP yoga tweets that I'm doing because I'm 55 days in or some shit and I'm down over 10 pounds. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Congrats, dude.
Gonna be 42 in a month or less than a month, and I could literally fold in half and grab my toes, and I've never been able to do that ever life. So,
that's a hell of an accomplishment right there, dude.
Right? Even my mom today was like, keep it up. I'm like, right?
Like I'm trying, bro. I'm trying.
Go on my Twitter, scroll past all the DDP tweets, and also hit the like for my daughter dancing to mm-hmm. Danhausen's theme.
Yep.
But then scroll past that, go to about middle of last week or whatever, and check out the tweet that I put out tagging both Nyla Rose and Jordan Grace saying, mm-hmm. I want a Twitter war. I forget how I worded it, but it's basically saying we want a Twitter war between these two because they're both beasts on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason why Nyla Rose won the Twitter award in AEW two years in a row.
Yep.
Because she's fucking brutal.
She's brutal, dude.
But then Jordan Grace comes around and she's like, look at me. Look at me. I'm even brutaler on Twitter.
Yeah, pretty much. They're both savages over there, and I love it.
Right? Come on. I'm still laughing. I know you are about the women's thigh tweet.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
It's called a women's inner thigh. You ever see one?
Uh-huh. Oh. Yep. So good.
All right.
I would love to see that. I wouldn't mind seeing them both in the ring, too. That should be great.
That'd be a dope match.
That'd be a fantastic match because they're both fucking fantastic fucking wrestlers. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic fucking performers. I'd love to see them both.
Right. And aren't they they're friends? They're friends in the real world, right?
Probably.
I would assume because most wrestlers seem to know each other.
I was just about to say that because, of course, because of the indies. A lot of them because of the indies. Indies are one of those things that unites pretty much everybody from every way of whether it's WWE or AEW, Impact, everything. Uh-huh. They're all over the place. They know each other because of that. And it's fucking awesome. I fucking love it. What else did we get on Dynamite?
No, Jeff Hardy, Darby, I think was the close.
Yeah, that was the close. Oh, also the Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter match. That was a really good match. Right. I am a mark for both of them. And this match was very, very, very damn good. Seeing both of them go at it, both, of course, foreigners that don't really get a huge push, especially Jamie Hayter. She's been around for a little bit. But Tony Storm, who just came over from pretty much from the NXT or whatever.
Only less than 2 months ago.
Yeah. Both really damn good in the ring. They both bring their different styles, and I enjoy watching them fight. Seeing them both together, I was like, yes, give us more. I need to see more of this shit because they're fucking good. They're fucking good. Unfortunately, I guess fortunately, whatever. Tony Storm won. I want a Jamie Hayter to win. I guess you can say I'm a hater. Tony Storm won, which was sad. But still good because, of course, it was a good match. I was not that I was surprised, but I was very impressed with both of them. They have a great in ring, both of them. Like, I love it. I love their chemistry in ring, is what I'm saying. They're really damn good. They're good together. We're gonna see who else is gonna continue.
That was an Owen Hart qualifier, wasn't it?
Yes, that was a Owen Hart qualifier. So was the
Jeff Hardy Darby
match. Yeah, I guess that was the only qualifier that had different didn't have a real, what do you say, there wasn't any it was the only stipulation was that it was a ladder match.
Right.
As opposed to any of the other ones.
And it was great seeing Martha Hart in the
audience. Yeah, her and actually the family was there too, most of them. Other than, you know, Brett and, you know. But yeah, she was there with the kids and stuff too, which was pretty dope. I think it was earlier on the Twitters or whatever, a tweet from the Hart Foundation from the Owen Hart Foundation Twitter accounts. They posted that they were there at Dynamite.
So on to some sad shit.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be another podcast, more sad shit.
Yeah.
Sick plug to our friends at the Inner City Geeks podcast with their latest episode called Sad Shit.
Yeah, Sad Shit. All the time.
So, Virgil, once again, Virgil stated on social media that he's actually suffering from stage 2 colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sucks because, like, that's how my dad went. You know, he was stage 4, but, like, that shit's no joke. And I think it's a shout out to Jericho for donating $1,500 toward his goal. And then some other sad shit I saw not too long ago, like, actually while we were in the middle of the beginning of this episode. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is fighting cancer once again.
Oh, fuck, dude.
He just beat it. Last year, earlier this year, something like that. And it's back. And, you know, he posted the announcement on Instagram with his wife.
It sucks when, you know, people are in remission and shit like that. Because she's like, a killer, dude.
Positive vibes going toward the Duggan family.
Absolutely. For both of them.
For both of them.
Yeah.
You know,
for Virgil Duggan and for Virgil, yeah.
Both humble individuals, too, like, outside of the ring. They're not assholes.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not assholes.
You know, especially Virgil, right? Virgil got screwed over by WWE so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there's a reason why he was, like, selling shit in Grand Central Station, like, a week after Comic-Con in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Duggan just seems like a family man, you know? Yeah. And it sucks.
Big time.
But let's keep our positive vibes to these guys.
Oh yeah, dude.
Because holy shit. You know, these guys are legends, man.
Absolutely.
80s icons. Like, if you think about it, Duggan with his fucking 2x4.
Yeah.
And the tongue out of his mouth, you're like, who is this guy? And I actually had
screaming ho.
I actually had the LJN rubber hacksaw when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. I had that one. I had Hogan, of course.
Everybody had Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. And Hillbilly Jim.
With the removable hat. Yes.
Yeah.
and he had like the arm poses where like one up, like bicep up, bicep down.
Yep, exactly.
I actually had Hogan, Hillbilly Jim, George the Animal Steel, Macho Man, junkyard dog with the plastic chain that you could take off of his neck.
Nice.
Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy. Like, you know, like, before, like, when these things were new, like, I was the only boy in the family. Like, my brother wasn't a thought yet. And so, like,
right.
So, like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll just buy you these things at Toys R Us. And now Andre's gone, Macho Man's gone, George Animal Steel, mm-hmm. Junkyard Dog, King yep. Kong Bundy, and Toys R Us, all gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So
sad shit, dude.
Sad shit. This episode will also be called Sad Shit. No. Yeah, no. No, we don't want to copy off the Inner City Geeks.
No, no, no. It's their own. It's our. We are our own entity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although we look quite the same as those guys.
Yeah, we look and sound very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But yeah. So, shout out to those guys for being awesome.
And, absolutely.
Hopefully they kick this shit's ass.
I hope so, dude. I hope so. I guess to get on a little bit of a brighter note, if we go to SmackDown happened, of course, this week. But one of like the biggest things that I actually really enjoyed was we make fun of her. We make fun of Ronda Rousey, calling her Ronda Drowsy. But she put up an open challenge for anybody to pretty much come up against for the title. Because of course, technically, she doesn't really have a lot of opponents right now, because her main right. real opponent is actually Charlotte or whatever. But
right, Charlotte, who has a broken arm because she
right, a quote unquote Andrade. Broken arm, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But her, I guess the next best person to go up against her is the person that just came up from NXT, Raquel Gonzalez or Raquel Rodriguez now.
Okay,
and. She basically, it wasn't a squash. It was actually a pretty good match. And she put her over. She put her over with them good. Because they had a really good back and forth.
Good.
Raquel Gonzalez she's obviously, she towers over Rousey by like a good foot.
Oh, shit. All right.
She's like massively tall over her. And they had a really good match. Like I'm gonna say that. Like a couple times, Ronda tried to put her in a submission, uh-huh. and one time she tried to, you know how a lot of people they've been doing they like wrap their legs around them, and then they put them in a headlock or whatever.
Yeah.
So she had her in that, and then Raquel reversed it and threw her up in the air. Held her there and then put her into a sloop in the suplex. Fucking nuts. Cause that's a difficult shit to do right there.
Yeah.
But they did it. And she did it, and it was actually really good at the end of the match, Ronda Rousey pretty much, you know, shook her hand and everything, like, yo, like you did good. You did good, kid.
Wow, that was a handshake.
Yeah, match. Yeah, she gave her a handshake at the end of the match. I was like, okay, I like where this is going. Kind of want to see. What?
She, I mean, when Ronda started in the business in the wrestling business, she was green mm-hmm. as shit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's like, oh, she's green, but let's give her the title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I she does put on she's put on better matches now that she's returned.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just like I hate that they did that auto push bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. How they fucking just threw us into the line of fire to Roman Reigns. Like, oh hey.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, right now, Reigns is one of the best gimmicks. Like the Bloodline shit is one of the best gimmicks in that company.
Yeah.
You know, but like, come on, man. Fucking. He's had the doing that Hogan bullshit. Like, he had the title now for well over 600 days.
Yep.
We're talking 2 years of him being champion.
Mm hmm. And the Usos are right behind them with 300 plus days.
300. Yeah, 300 plus days for the Usos. And it's like, come on, give other people a turn.
Yep.
And especially, right, so he re-signed a deal, even though, like, there was that tease.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I heard he's going to be, like, more of a part-time
Not necessarily part-time champion. He's going to be champion, but he's not going to be doing a lot of the house shows. So you'll see him on, like, Raw and SmackDown.
Right.
And, like, on the pay-per-view and stuff, but he's not going to be on every single pay-per-view either. You're not going to get him, like I said, on the house shows. He's going to show up everywhere, but not at house shows for the most part. Because, of course, and, you know, that's wearing him out. That's wearing his, you know, his title run a little bit shorter. Or him his actual in-ring ability is running it short. Yeah. If you can just keep pushing.
I know they're still trying to get that challenge of him versus The Rock for Mania 39.
Yeah, I get it. I see it. I see it possibly happening. Do I really want it to happen? That'd be dope.
No.
But I think it's going to happen before that. I think he's going to wind up getting that L finally before that even happens.
But, like, The Rock basically doesn't have time to wrestle anymore.
Yeah, I highly doubt. I highly doubt he's going to come back anytime soon.
Because dude's literally in the process of filming Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing Young Rock. He's making Tequila. He's, you know. So who knows? I mean, would I mind a Rock match one more time? No.
Yeah.
But, like,
do we need another Rock match?
Do we need it?
No. Definitely not.
Like, The Rock, so my era of WWE will always be the matches between The Rock and whoever, Triple H and whoever, Austin and whoever, Kane and whoever, Undertaker and whoever, not necessarily HBK or Chris Jericho.
Right.
Well, earlier Jericho in WWE.
Right, yeah.
But, like, there's a lot of shit that company can't get away with now. Like, when The Rock made fun of the Big Show and Kane, you know, with the a certain thing where they go to Atlantic City or Vegas and Kane, I won.
Yeah.
You know, and with the Big Show, like,
yeah, what the fuck?
With that shit anymore.
Yeah, no.
you barely could get away with it then.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, that if I want to go back, if I want to see The Rock do that stuff, I'll go back and watch The Rock do that stuff. I don't need Dwayne Johnson wrestling again, because he literally tore his fucking abs from his like body when he wrestled when he wrestled Cena. He wrestled an Invisible Man because we couldn't see Cena.
Yeah.
You know, like what was this, like WrestleMania 33 or 34 or something?
Long time ago.
Yeah. But, like, the man doesn't need to do that anymore. He has his career. He's set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like, do we really need Reigns to go against his cousin?
No, I don't think so.
Just have them butt heads in Hobbs and Shaw if you want to see that shit.
Yeah, since they're both there, we kind of saw that already.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, just go back and watch that scene.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but like I don't we don't need to see The Rock again. Like, granted, yes, he is a great performer, and he's also very he is all for the fans, and I get it.
Oh yeah,
but do we really need it again? I don't think so. I don't think we need another Rock run. Because he, like you said also, like, he's all Hollywood now. He doesn't need all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to go back into the ring. Yeah. You know, he doesn't need to take any more bumps either. Like, I think he's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm chilling right now. I'm chilling, you know, working out and doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of the big stories that I'm actually really into, that's like one of the final pieces that I'm going to talk about for SmackDown, is actually a continuation of the Riddle versus the Usos. Because we kind of got shafted with the Usos and essentially the whole bloodline against Riddle and Orton and Drew McIntyre. We kind of shafted with that because, like, of course, we weren't expecting that you know, that stupid loss. But we're getting the title unification match next week, which is very cool because I want to see what they're going to do with this. I want these dudes to actually win. I don't want the Usos to continue to win.
No, I'm so fucking tired of the Usos.
Yeah. Like, they're not bad in the ring. They're good performers.
If this was any other tag team getting pulled over for fucking DUI after DUI, they would have been fucking released by now.
Yep. Yep.
But because they're Rikishi's kids and their brothers in NXT.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised this isn't part of the bloodline.
Yeah. It's just so weird.
He's probably like the black sheep of the Hanoi family.
Yeah, just a little bit. But Riddle wound up going up against Sami Zayn for a chance to be the qualifier for them to actually go up against the Usos. So if he won, the stipulation for it was that they could get a chance up against the Usos. And he won. He did a good job. He had a fantastic match. Unfortunately, another small package.
Mm-hmm.
Which led for the win. Like, okay, fine, whatever. The Rousey match also ended in a small package too. That's a couple small packages already in the last few days.
Well, you know what? Good things come in small packages. There's our
there we go. There we go. You got it. Yep.
For those wondering before we started.
Yeah, we were thinking, what's gonna happen? How can we fit this in there? But that was good. That was good. I like that.
You're welcome.
And then at the end of SmackDown, we had the Usos are pretty much like, and Roman Reigns, you know, they were talking, of course, in the ring. They were like, yo, like, they were talking to RK Bro, and they were like, yo, like, we want the match. I'm like, yo, yeah, you got the match. We'll give it to you. And then they kept going the back and forth. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Roman Reigns has two championships. We're going to have two championships, and you ain't going to have anything. And then Roman Reigns started laughing. He turned around, and then Riddle just came out of nowhere and just jumped and smacked him with the knee in the face. I was like, yes, see, that's the intensity that I want. Like, I was like, okay, I like where this is going. I want to see where the story is going to continue and how the story is going to continue. And I also want to see, like, if they do lose, is Riddle or Orton going to go for that unified title? Or are they going to split up the unified title as far as the regular championship against Reigns?
Now, if that's the case, I wonder if they will give Orton a 15th title win.
I would love it.
Especially because of how much they were like, you know, they were praising his 20-year...
Uh-huh.
The 20 years of Orton and, like, you know, all over Instagram and everything else. And just, and everybody was congratulating him on his enormous career of being, you know, in that company. And I'm happy he stuck around because I liked goofball Randy, where like my arm is at 60%, you know, like,
right, yeah,
you know, or like when he ran around his blue shorts and like stole Jim Ross's hat, you know,
when he was little, like, he was just an ass back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Although the one thing I didn't like though, and not even against Orton, it's against how they did this shit. They're like, oh, Randy Orton had a motorcycle accident. He'll be out of action for X amount of time. But then that's when he came back with the fucking skull tattoos. It's like, oh, so what, did the hospital like tattoo his arms with like really nicely done sleeves?
It's to cover up the scars. It's to cover up the scars.
Well, it one of them is covering up his military, his Marine tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, because it was a dishonorable discharge.
Yep.
Which, you know what? Fuck him. Like not him, but like fuck it in general. It's like he wasn't cut out to be in the military. He ended up being a great performer, which he's been entertaining us in so many different ways.
He's made a career of it. He's made a career of it.
Yeah,
a lifelong career of it.
You know, everything from Goofball Randy to the Legend Killer to the Viper to what we have now with RK Bro. Mm-hmm. And RK Bro was something I wasn't into. And then I'm like, God damn it, wear your fucking shoes. And then,
yeah.
and then, as this tag team continued, I'm like, I'm digging it, man. They have such good chemistry.
Absolutely.
And now Riddle does an RKO out of nowhere. I'm like, what?
And the funny thing is, like, he does it every other match pretty much. Yeah, and like you're wondering, is Orton gonna do it or is he gonna do it? And essentially, he does it.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And it's basically he has that timing down just as much as Orton.
If not quicker.
If not quicker. Because Riddle was pretty solid in MMA, so.
Yeah. He's also a solid wrestler too. He's really damn good.
Where are your fucking shoes?
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that doesn't wear shoes, I actually really damn good in ring too, is fucking Mike Bailey or an Impact. Fucking really damn good. But yeah, dude. Some good fucking shit there. Like, I'm excited to see where this whole storyline goes and how it continues or how it actually ends. Because do I want to see a unified tag team title? Hell no.
No.
But if it is unified, I'd much rather have RK-Bro with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, storyline Steve here goes, would this essentially cause the collapse of RK-Bro? Would one of them get pissed off at the other? And the whole faction or the whole team?
Huh.
If they lose, that would be interesting. It's just my brain. It's my brain working. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to happen. Or we'll see, I guess. Of course, I don't work for them, so I can't call it. But if that does happen, you know, you heard it here first. You have anything else to add to this, Brian?
No, I got nothing.
I think we're pretty much it for the show. Thank you guys for listening. Go check out all the stuffs on innercitygeeks.net. Of course, we got this show. We have the regular show over at Inner City Geeks. Whole bunch of other shit over there. Go check all that shit out. Then you can find some pretty cool places to get some pretty cool shit on the links. Main thing that we're talking about is Fight TV. You get a lot of cool fucking wrestlings over there. You could watch all the Impact pay-per-views over there because they're fucking great. If you haven't watched Impact, go check them out. Check them out on YouTube. It's only $1 a fucking month. $1, dude. $1. For some quality wrestling. really good shit. Like I said, I've become a bit of an impact mark right now. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed. So yeah, check out Fight TV. You got that. You got what was that I was watching a couple days ago? Was what was it? Vendetta. I think it was Vendetta. It was pretty much hip hop meets wrestling in a whole promotion. Pastor Troy performed a lot of cool wrestling, super indie. Wasn't the only thing I wasn't a fan of was the commentators. Their audio sounded like shit to me. Wasn't a fan of it. But if you watch it on mute, it'd be pretty dope. It's good shit. Actually, like I said, I wasn't a fan of the audio production of it. But as far as the wrestling was, it was actually pretty good. Check that out on it's for free. You don't have to pay for anything for that one. Click on the link and watch Vendetta. It's pretty good. It's pretty solid matches. Fuego del Sol actually won a match on there. It's pretty fucking cool. We're used to seeing him in AEW actually losing. Also over there, Baron Black, who has the 0-48 record over there in AEW. He was over there too. So go check those out. Go check out Vendetta. It's a fun watch, especially since there's going to be another episode coming out within the next month and a half, 2 months. And then, of course, there's a lot of cool plays over on the links. Go check all that shit out. Then you can find this show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcast, and motherfucking Spotify. Because who doesn't like to listen to shit on Spotify? Because I know I do. I listen to all my shit on Spotify. And this is this show over there.
As you should.
Fuck yeah, dude. Then you can find this show on the Twitters, at Suplex City Geeks. Or you can find us. Brian, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on social media. Check me out at Bri2J Presents on Twitter, as I said about 20 fucking times in this show. And you can, of course, also follow me on Bri2J Presents on Instagram. Check out Bri2JPresents.com, where we have a link to my YouTube channel, Bri2J Presents. And you can, of course, find a link to the Inner City Geeks podcast, innercitygeeks.net, that has the podcast and also us.
Yeah.
But we're not the same people, though. We're different.
Yeah, it's our variants from a different universe. I continue to just feed off of us.
It's the multiverse. The multiverse is real.
Exactly. Then you guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jekyll, MasterJackal. That about wraps it up. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate the fuck out of you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for just giving us a listen and you know, taking your time out. Just letting us orally pleasure you.
Wow.
Oral. Good night, everybody. A-U-R-A-L. A-U-R-A-L. So, like I said, thank you guys for listening. And, we wish you the best on your future endeavors.